My name is Anne, and I am a compulsive overeater.
I am.
And I, what it was like. So I can remember back to pretty early age, early childhood, eating in a way that wasn't normal. Even then, I kind of knew the way I was eating was not normal. Snuck food, ate weird things, was knew it was kind of shameful and was secretive. It wasn't that conscious. Everything about me seemed weird anyway. So this was just one more thing, and it wasn't just me. It was also some of my siblings. Some of it might have been just my environment. We had eight kids in my family on a mid-civil servant salary, and so my mother, we had food. We couldn't just go in the refrigerator and help ourselves like my friends did. And food was I was never hungry, but I just remember hungering for things that I wanted to eat. And my parents really now as an adult and as part of my recovery, I've come to realize how great, awesome they really were. And they did provide for us, but in any event, it did shape my eating disorder. But it wasn't, it was sporadic. When I would eat weird, started binging after my mother died when I was 10, and was put in charge of my own food. The very first thing I remember about receiving a $20 bill for Christmas present, which we lived in Germany. My mom was German, my dad was a military civil servant at that point. And I lived in the economy, and at that time the dollar was very strong. It was like $80. And there was a candy store directly across the street from our house. And I remember running back and forth across that street to this candy store, and the women who ran it had this garden, and they had to shuffle down this long lane to come. You'd ring a bell, and they'd come and sell you. And instead of buying $80 worth of, or 40, $20, but it was 80 marks of candy at the same time, I was back and forth. And I remember actually at one point, I don't think it was necessarily this time, but those trips back and forth to the candy store, I bounced off of a car. It was already the disease was already alive. And but like I said, I didn't really gain weight. I was undernourished actually. If I look at some of my pictures, my dad died by the time I was 14. I came here to the United States. The siblings all kind of got ripped apart. At that point, three of them were adults. Two had come over here with their husbands, one married and stayed there. Five of us were minors, came to Fort Ord. And that's when I think my disease really started taking off. I started really binging on candy, anything, food, period. But I didn't really have a weight problem until as after I had my daughter. My daughter keeps telling me stop blaming her for weight. She's now 50 years old, but in any event, I didn't really fixate on the fact that I had an eating disorder. And I watched actually One Life to Live and saw an episode, or maybe it was All My Children, I can't remember, but there was actually an episode about a woman who had, I think she was in OA. So this was in the early 70s, and OA had been established. And I think they were alluding to that, even though I don't remember them saying it was a 12-step program. But in any event, after that, my weight just really started escalating. I became a professional dieter. I tried every diet I could to get my food under control. Somebody else shared about, there's a lot of us are cross addicted. I also used alcohol and drugs, and I actually probably qualify for every program there is. But this was my first disease. This has been the disease that's been hardest for me to put down. I finally, after, gaining about, I was probably about 50 pounds heavier than I am now when I discovered OA. And when I was introduced to 12 steps because my husband went into recovery. He has a different disease. He doesn't understand this disease. He can't even really still wrap his mind around the fact that I have an eating disorder, even though he tries to support me in the disease. And he is in a 12-step program. But in any event, I would thought it was another diet club. I came here looking for yet another solution to my, progressively debilitating. I was, just living to go home and eat and knock out on the couch and drag myself back to work the next morning and start all over again. And I was, at that point I realized I was obsessed with food. And I went to my first meeting, though, still looking for another diet. And but something I heard at the meeting resonated with me. There were other people in the room. That was really my first introduction that there was a program for this, it was help for this. And at that point I had pretty much exhausted any confidence that I was ever going to be able to lose this by dieting. And that was the real reason I came here, was to lose the weight. But this was my introduction to 12-step programs. I started with Al-Anon and finally had to admit I was also had other addictions and started another 12-step program. But this program, I just could not really, I wasn't willing. When I came, we had freedom of choice. And there was actually just the beginning of kind of a, separating of different food plan programs in OA. But I definitely wanted to subscribe to freedom of choice. But my freedom of choice was I could eat anything and everything whenever I wanted. And needless to say, it didn't work. I believed in the program, but I was in and out for years, decades. I was working, at one point I decided I'm just going to work my other program because I was just not getting this program. I had periods where I was abstinent for long periods of time. And then I would pick up that food that I had never really committed to abstaining from, but just thought I was still kind of using it, I think, as a diet. I was like, I'll just until I can get my food under control. And that was a problem. And what happened was, so I left, and in 2019, I came back to these meetings. And at that point, I was willing to go to any length. I was at my highest weight ever. I was miserable. The weight was just a part of it. I was just miserable, even though I was sober consistently. My relationships were still suffering. I was still batshit crazy, and I was willing. And so when I came back, I was willing to finally surrender, my particular alcoholic food, which for me was sugar. So since 2019, I believe, I was abstaining from all desserts. And I, it was really hard, but I was actually grateful that I was an alcoholic because I was able to remember what that felt like when I first came into it, first got sober. And I think maybe a big part of what why I was white knuckling and having a hard time when I first got sober was because of all the sugar that I was now abstaining from because I wasn't drinking. And but I remember that obsession for the drink lifted, and I just trusted these steps. I'd had sponsors, I'd worked the steps, but obviously, until I was abstaining, I couldn't really give my all to using the tools and the steps and so forth. But I did, and progressively that obsession for the desserts lifted. And in the main, I can say I'm free of that obsession. It doesn't mean that sometimes my mind doesn't turn to it. Like my husband is, like I said, he does not have an eating disorder, and he'll bring desserts into the house, and usually it doesn't bother me, but every once in a while I'll tell him, you need to put that away because it's starting to call me. But in the main, when I'm working my program, and I have really, I believe, dedicated myself to working the steps. I worked with my sponsor through the workbook. I've done the steps numerous times. For me, abstinence recovery has been a progressive thing. I've never done it perfectly, and I think part of my healing is I no longer feel a need to be perfect. That was part of my disease, was being obsessive about how to do things perfectly, and if I didn't, it didn't count. I had to start over. And this has been a journey of recovery, and more is always being revealed to me. But for today, I, that's what my abstinence looks like. But the difference, I think, too, is I'm willing to look at other foods, and sometimes I think there are. I subscribe to the red foods, my desserts. There are some things that are yellow foods where I might be telling you at some point that's something that had to be removed from my food plan because every once in a while my mind starts turning to food and I have to look at those foods and ask myself, is there something that's still triggering me? So I believe my absence has been progressive, just as my recovery has been progressive. But where I'm at today is I actually was just sharing at a meeting on Monday that I was kind of, using the tools just as for the end of it's going to serve me. And one of the things I was sometimes begrudging about was service, sponsoring and secretarying and all the business meetings and all that stuff. And I just in recent months have realized progressively I've really come to really embrace that and really understand it's really a privilege to work with somebody and see them starting to get it. And so I'm just really happy that I'm staying green, I'm growing, and my program has not gotten stale with all the decades I've been in this program. I know that I'll never be fully healed. There's always going to be something new for me to learn, but my life is damn good today. My relationships are good. I'm beautifully human and fallible. And so I apologize that you didn't get to hear Elaine today. I'm going to trust Elaine is okay, and that was just a misunderstanding, and maybe we'll reschedule Elaine, but thank you guys for letting me pinch hit, and thank you for listening to me. And I'll stop. I don't have a topic. I'll just leave it open.